Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Armies of the kingdom. I want to take a text from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse number 3 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 to 4. It says that you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Please underline good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. You can underline the word soldier also over there. So I want us to begin by this simple understanding that every typical kingdom or nation has got armies, and some of them are in charge of the air or the sea and the land. The kingdom of God as a nation has got two main armies who are in charge of two realms, the visible and the invisible realms of God's kingdom. So we need to understand that there is a visible and there is an invisible realm of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. So God's rule is for two general realms, the realm of the visible and the invisible, the earthly and the heavenly, the physical and the spiritual. Hallelujah. Now, most of the time, we are very comfortable with our spiritual, spiritual rule, you know, or God's rule in the spiritual realm. But we have to much more grow up to understand that God really wants his rule. It begins from the spiritual, but ultimately he wants it to end in the physical or the visible. It begins in heaven, of course, but ultimately he wants his rule to be on earth. If God is satisfied with his spiritual rule, you know, if he is satisfied with his invisible rule or his heavenly rule, he would not have created the earth. Hallelujah. He wants everything to end up in the physical. Okay, so I want us to also understand that even as we consider these two general realms in which God's rule is to come, we have to know that the principles that are in the spiritual realm or the heavenly realm are the same principles that are to be applied in the physical realm or the earthly realm. Why? Because the kingdom of God is integrated. In other words, it's interlinked. There is nothing like the physical minus the spiritual. Hallelujah. God's rule is linked up to one another. So the principles that pertain in the spiritual has got parallels in the physical. Hallelujah. Now, the visible army of God refers to all believers. All believers. The visible army of God refers to all believers. Of course, we have the invisible army of God, which are made up of all the angels. Wow. So all believers are in the visible army of God. They are soldiers. That is what our text told us about, that you must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we should aim at pleasing the person who has called us to be soldiers. Okay. Now, all believers are in charge of the bringing about the kingdom of God in the earthly or the physical realm. That is what our role is. We are to bring about God's rule in the visible or the physical wealth. Hallelujah. This one is very important because sometimes, you see, you can unknowingly exchange roles with angels. Angels are in charge of what? Bringing God's rule in the invisible world. And we are in charge of bringing God's rule in the visible world. If you don't take care, you can exchange roles. And as we go on, you understand that sometimes we can behave as if we are angels, you know, instead of behaving as humans whose estates belong to the physical world. We can be so scared of the physical that we tend to focus more on the spiritual unseen world. Hallelujah. Wonderful. As we go on, you understand. But for now, I want you to understand that we have to work from the spirit, of course, and end up in making God's kingdom of peace, purity, power, His presence, and all the wonderful things that are in heaven be in the physical world, not in the unseen world or the spiritual world. Now, I want us to look at something in our text. It says that, verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Some versions say that who has chosen him to be a soldier. So, it is purely by choice, hallelujah, whose choice? God's choice for you to be a soldier, to be in his army. It is not really your choice. It is somebody who has enlisted you. It is somebody who has chosen you to become a soldier. This one is very important. In certain countries, military exercise or military service, I should say, are compulsory, like in the Holy Land of Israel. It is compulsory for a citizen to be in the military and to be trained in the military and do military service. It is the same in the kingdom system of God. Once you are a citizen of God's kingdom, once you are born again, it is compulsory. You must engage in military service. So once you are born again, automatically you are chosen to be in the visible army of the kingdom of God. This is important. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15 verse 16 that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have enlisted you. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. It is important for you to understand that being in the visible army of God is the choice of God. It's not your choice. Why is this important? Because if you think that it is your choice, what happens is that you think that finally your interest must prevail. When you have the religious concept that you chose Jesus, it is as if you are more important than Jesus because you initiated the whole thing. You chose Jesus. That is a religious concept. But when you have a kingdom concept that he chose you, then you see that you bear a certain allegiance unto him. Then you know that you are not the important person in this relationship with God. You know that the person who initiated it, that is God, is the one you should ultimately please. If you don't understand this kingdom concept, what will happen or what happens typically is that under trying circumstances as a member of God's army, you are going to save your skin rather than to be sold out as a soldier to the one who chose you to be a soldier, that is God. Okay, so it's important for us to get this concept. In the upper room, Jesus Christ drummed it home very well because the apostles may have thought that they are the people who initiated everything and that if Jesus Christ, if they are not choosing Jesus, maybe Jesus would not have had any following and things like that. But Jesus corrected it, that you didn't choose me, I chose you. So his interest becomes supreme. Under every trying circumstance, his interest becomes supreme. That's why our text said that we should endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, so that we would please Him who has called us or chosen us and enlisted us into His Majesty's service. Hallelujah. Now, I was exploring the fact that there can be a role change between the visible army, which is every believer, and then the invisible army, which are angels. But this is not right. Angels are not mandated to bring about God's kingdom in the physical realm. We are the people mandated to perform that role. This is important because certain things that we do can actually make it look like we are trying to play the role of angels. Okay? Let me give you an example. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and then verse 17 whilst we are around that place. Hebrews chapter 13 and then verse 17. It says that, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls." Please underline "watch out for your souls" and underline "souls." "As those who must give accounts, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you." Now, this scripture has been abused in a certain way. And I'm using this as a typical illustration of the role change that you can harbor as far as your taking the place of angels is concerned. The Bible says that, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls." The soul is talking about the will, the mind, and then the emotions. So those who govern us in the church, they watch out. They watch out. Hallelujah. They don't watch over. They watch out for your will, your mind, and your emotions. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that fellow believers who are called into the fivefold ministry, they watch over our souls. And our souls, what comes to people is like our spirits. And they don't watch over your spirit. No human being can watch over a fellow human being's spirit. Hallelujah. What they watch over is your will, your mind, and your emotions. It is only God who can watch over the souls of human beings. But we as pastors, we watch, or other governmental authorities in the church of God, they watch out for your soul. In other words, they are in charge of your will. Whether you would desire maybe to move forward in the Lord or not, they are responsible for that. Whether you would desire to attain a certain height, they are responsible for that. Whether your emotions are carved in or they are released, you can express your emotions, not stepping over your emotions, supplanted emotions, they are responsible for that. They are responsible for the state of your mind, not your spirit, your mind. Hallelujah. Your mind is essential, because when your mind is renewed, when they themselves develop capacity and they feed your mind then rises up and cooperates with your spirit, which is created in righteousness and true holiness after the image of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So, in this part of the world, sometimes people can get so over spiritual, you know, and think that they can perform the work of angels and look over people's spirits. So I know that you have examples of people who say that they can get into some spirit realm and change into certain things in order to accomplish certain things. That's not the work of humans.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Our work is to enforce God's kingdom in the physical world. That is why we have to touch on the mind. We have to touch on the emotions. We have to touch on the will. You see, before God created man, human beings were there. We were spirits in Christ Jesus already. In Christ Jesus already. We were there. But what happened in Genesis chapter 2 is that God took earth and molded humans in a physical form, and then he breathed into the nostrils of humans, and then we became a living soul. We became what? A living soul. In other words, we were already there as spirits, but God decided that his rule should not be limited to the heavenly, it should also come to the earthly, to the physical. So he took us who were already spirits in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, and then he molded us, he gave us a body because of the role that he had for us to play in this physical earth. He gave us a body. And then when he breathed his spirit into us, we got a soul. In other words, we got a will, we got a mind, and we got emotions. Before God breathed his breath into us, Adam was there. He was a spirit, but he could not express emotions. In other words, he was just like a mummy. He was just there. He couldn't smile. He couldn't weep. He couldn't laugh. He couldn't be angry. He couldn't express any emotion. He was just there. But when God breathed his spirit into Adam, our first parents, then they could express emotion. They could express emotion. And that is what God wanted. When he breathed his spirit into man, man had a will. Man got a desire of his own. Otherwise, mankind was just there like a corpse, like a mummy, with no emotions and with no will. But God wanted us to have expression, be able to choose whilst we are around. So he gave us a will. And last of all, he gave us a mind. These are the three things that make up your soul, the living soul. A living will, a living emotion, and a living mind. A mind of his own. Hallelujah. So as far as God is concerned, for us to be successful in this world does not first of all depend on our spirits. For us to be successful in bringing about his kingdom to the physical world, it depends primarily on the state of your will, the state of your emotions, the state of your mind. These are the three equipments, the soul, that we needed for us to function as humans on this earth and bring about his kingdom in the visible world as it is in the invisible world where we came from. So as far as God is concerned, he sets governmental authority over his church, over his people, so that they will work on these three things, the will, the mind, and the emotions that are needed for us to bring about his rule in the physical world. Hallelujah. That is why God said that he desires above everything, you know, if God has any desire for us as his people, as the invisible, as a visible army of believers, he says, I desire above everything that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So our soul's prosperity is top as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. Because as far as he is concerned, when we get our spirits right, when we get our minds right, we get our emotions working well, not disturbing us, you know, we get our minds working well, then we'll be able to function as the visible army bringing about his rule in this world. That is why believers need to renew their mind. Hallelujah. Because when they do, then they will be able to conquer whatever thing that the devil has against them and be able to effect God's rule in their world, in their physical world. But sometimes we play everything back into the spiritual realm and we try to perform the role of angels. Hallelujah. When we sleep, not so. Yeah, when we sleep, we sleep. Human beings, when they sleep, they sleep. When you sleep, your spirit must not be doing some things. Yeah, I'm talking about abuse. That's why I'm using this thing. You know, because some people have the concept that when they sleep, then their spirits are walking on the earth. That's witchcraft. That's demonic work. When you sleep, let angels walk in the spiritual realm. Get yourself prepared, your will, your mind, and your emotions. You see, that is why the devil, in trying to bring down mankind and rule the earth, attacked the will of mankind first. And that is why Jesus Christ works on our will first. He works on our will, you know, so that what we desire to do, our will have the power to do it. So that we will not be people who do not have choice. Hallelujah. Wow. So the visible army of God's kingdom must not get their battle wrong. If you get the battle wrong, you don't understand the nature of the battle. You would be fighting certain battles that angels should fight. And what happens then is that you curtail the work of angels. You stop the work of angels because you want to do that work. You cannot do it well, you know, because you have gone outside your mandate as a human being. What is our mandate? Basically, to bring God's rule in the visible world, not in the invisible world. As we go on, you would catch on with what I am teaching you about. So let us look at the mission of the visible army. What is our mission? What is the nature of our battle? Because if we don't get the nature of our battle, we'll be fighting certain battles you should not fight. You don't need to fight that. But you'll be so busy fighting that battle and you'll get it all wrong. Okay? Now, the work of the invisible armies of God's kingdom is to maintain and expand the rule of God practically. Maintain and expand the rule of God practically. Practically. As for the devil, he doesn't like practically. He likes you to think that Jesus Christ came in the spirit. He doesn't like you to think that Jesus came in the flesh. Because when you zero in to the fact that Jesus came in the flesh, then you are touching a certain the area of your battle, you know, that he wants to rule over. You remember in Adam, the strategy he used to overcome Adam was that he took over all the physical things, you know, or I should say the physical wealth of the world, which belonged to Adam. He took it over. That was the first place that he took before he could get at Adam. This is how he did it. The Bible tells us that thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Was that God's intention? Should Satan be covered with the diamonds, with the carbuncle, with the emeralds, with the gold? Should he have it in Eden? No. Eden was the garden of God, and he put the man there to dress it and keep it. The devil came to Eden, and the Bible says that thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. What was the covering of Adam? The glory of God. That was spiritual. Not so. Yeah, that was spiritual. His eyes was not open to even the physical. It was the spiritual. But the devil had covered himself with all the riches. That was the first thing he took. Because he knows that if I can take the physical realm, then I can control this man. Because his mandate is to bring God's rule to the physical realm. But if I can deceive him to focus only on the spiritual, then I can take the physical and make it mine. And he will not be able to fulfill his mandate, the reason why God brought him around. And he still does the same thing. He still tries to make us to think all spiritual. When I say that, please understand. I'll show you what spirituality is about. That it's a mindset. It's the way you set your mind. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with a shaking. It has nothing to do with whether you see vision or not. It is the state of your mind. Okay, that's how the Bible defines spirituality. We will get to that. But what I'm telling us is that the devil up to today tries to take over our area for us not to focus on the area we need to focus on and bring God's rule to this physical world. Because if he can confuse the armies of God, of course he can confuse the angels. You know that. So if he can get mankind to be playing certain things, you see, instead of focusing on bringing God's kingdom to the physical world, we use the spiritual to enter into the spiritual, then we leave the physical alone so that he can rule us, so that we become very, very, very spiritual people. You see, but physically, we see that what is done around us is not what God wants around us. Hallelujah. We need to work our way. Because you see, a whole army can get it wrong. A whole army. Have you read the call by Rejoiner? You see various badges of armies. And you see that a whole army is like a crowd, a stampede that you are going somewhere. You don't know where you are going. But you are following. You are following the crowd. Because you saw that maybe they are soldiers. They are wearing maybe military uniform. It's not proper military uniform. But as we go on, you understand. And most of our uniform is one that protects the mind, not the spirit. You see that in Ephesians chapter 6. That it has got to do with getting ourselves equipped for our role in bringing God's kingdom to our world. That unbelievers will look at us and say, truly there is heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, what will convince me that somewhere, which is the most beautiful country around, let's say the U.S., what can we do without them? Let's just use the U.S. or maybe a part of Dubai. Okay, beautiful. What will convince me that a part of Dubai, that part of Dubai is beautiful? What will convince me that there is peace over there? What will convince me that there are riches over there is when I see the person who came from Dubai living it out. Living it out. Living peace out. Living prosperity out. Living the presence of God out on in a place which is not too beautiful. All right, I don't want to mention a country before we get into trouble. But if I'm in that country which is not that beautiful, and you tell me that there is a land, there is abundant joy, there is peace, the streets are made of gold, that's a misunderstanding anyway, and all those things, the best way to convince me that there is a land like heaven, that there's a beautiful place like Dubai, is for you to live it and let me see that true, there is a place. Then I become convinced that, oh, although there may be slums all around me, one day I can get to a land full of joy, where there is no pain, where, I mean, it's all bliss. By you living it out before me. That is why God brought his son Jesus on this earth. He brought him from the heavenly kingdom to live out a life that makes us to know that true, there is a place of God's rule. There is a place where there is patience, where there is kindness, where there is grace. There is a place where there is so much love, where there is prosperity. Jesus had to live it out to convince us that truly I am the ambassador from that place. And I came to tell you that there is a place like that. Hallelujah. That is why we as the visible army needs to take certain grounds that we have let the enemy take. And if you have read the book that I was talking to you about, you understand that a whole army can be rushing to fight something that they don't even know why they are going there. But because somebody is leading them there, because that is how they have been taught that this is how we fight it. So it's a whole deviation in the main. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to teach us that our work as humans born again is to bring God's rule, expand it, maintain it practically in this world. How do we do it? We do it by the kingdom word. I would unfold that as we go along. But let's look at some specifics. The specific territories in which we should maintain and enhance God's rule or kingdom. In strategic order, the first one is the person of humans. Where we have to bring God's rule or maintain God's rule is in the person of humans. That is in every human being. God's rule must be there. Jesus said that the kingdom of God must be within you, or properly is within you. That is a place of God's rule. In strategic order, that is the first place of God's rule. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly." We don't use bomb. We don't use chemical weapons. We don't use fear and terror, terrorizing people. They are not carnal, but mighty in God to pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, underlying the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, underlying every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 4.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.